All right, so welcome back to the Generative AI in the Real World podcast. Today we have an old friend, Alfred Spector, visiting scholar at MIT and senior advisor at Blackstone. So Alfred, welcome to the podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here and to see you again, Ben.
All right. So I guess, Alfred, we should start with, I was fortunate enough to be one of the early preview reviewers of the book Data Science in Context. In fact, I named it my 2022 book of the year. It's excellent. I recommend everyone grab a copy, grab two copies, one for your manager, one for yourself, and read it. So I guess at the time of the release of the book, I spoke with you and Peter, and for this audience, I guess maybe Alfred, give us a sense of why you folks ended up writing that book. Why did that book have a certain kind of flavor instead of, you know, your Peter Norvig and Alfred Spector? People are expecting some deeply, deeply technical in the weeds book, but you ended up writing a really kind of high impact, useful book that a lot of data teams can benefit from.
Right. And I'll even try to update it why I think it's still relevant in this world of generative AI, that being, of course, the point of this podcast. So so Peter Norvig, who is, as you say, very well known for really deep contributions technically in artificial intelligence, as well as pedagogically with the book that he wrote with Russell, Jeanette Wing, who started the Data Science Institute at Columbia, and Chris Wiggins, who's the chief data scientist at the New York Times, also at Columbia, and I all agreed that it's more than the model, as I was saying before. It's more than just, let's get some data, build a model, and make some predictions, and hope for the best. So we had seen that. Perhaps I had seen it more than anyone, because in a fairly senior executive position at Google and at IBM and also at an investment firm, Two Sigma, you could see that you could make all sorts of mistakes if you just blindly went forth and presumed that you could make a good prediction, a good recommendation, a good transformation, etc. So we believed that there are a variety of contextual things that you need to think about if you're going to get this right, and they're often the hardest. So what are the contextual things? Well, they're technical topics. So everyone is always going to bring up privacy. You're going to bring up security. You think about resilience in these systems, something we're well aware of now in generative AI. What about abuse? How do we deal with abuse in these systems? We have to really understand understandability. Must it be the case that if we make a prediction or a recommendation, we have to explain why? Many people think that's extremely important, and it isn't. Some instances, others perhaps not. But do we have to understand causality? Oftentimes, just showing associations and predictions might not be useful, certainly in scientific realms, but also in public policy. And then oftentimes, particularly in this world where there's so much scientific fraud, you need reproducibility as well. You need to be able to show people that we really have done something well and that they can reproduce it. Just a couple more. We also thought, as we looked at it, it's easy to gloss over what we mean by the objectives of the system. We want to make a good recommendation. Well, what does that really mean? How are we concerned about filter bubbles versus the breadth of opinions? How do we balance those issues? How do we decide what's optimal versus what might not be? So those decisions end up taking an enormous amount of time to get right, and we're seeing that now all play out in the world of generative AI as well. Is it okay that we have a creative variation on a beautiful photograph that's made by a DALL-E kind of image generator, or is it going to be is it a bad objective because it's going to be infringing on the right of the artist whose style is being copied to some extent? We have to make sure that when we build these systems, that we're attacking problems that actually probably admit to some failure, because any of these stochastic systems will occasionally fail. So I just saw a note from Anthropic come by saying, no, we don't really recommend you use our system for making absolutely critical decisions. Probably good advice. And then of course, there are always long-term societal impacts we should be taking into account. We should be thinking about how these things will affect the world around us. So that's one set of contexts. So that's more than just attention, more than just the right kind of regression or whatever we're doing as a model. And it's more than just data. Both of those are well known to be issues. Second context is the application is very critical. So whether we're doing something around recommending music that's relatively benign, it's not going to be really a huge issue versus recommending news stories that people read. Very different. So summarizing some creative writing that I might do for someone is a very different task than trying to summarize a legal document. So we have to think about the context in many domains. We have to think about the society where we're doing things as well, because different societies have different points of view. That makes things complicated. I heard a presentation yesterday where someone thought we'll all get together and reach commonality on this, but we won't. I think it's highly naive to believe that. So there are lots of societal differences and then temporal differences as well. What seems to be right today probably was not necessarily right 15 years ago, and we don't know what it's going to be. So that's why we wrote the book. All the things apply. And in fact, they apply larger today because the stakes are even higher than when we wrote it.
So one of the points that you've been making recently is that, we definitely should pay attention to ethics, and ethics is important, but that in making these trade-offs, ethics alone may not be enough. So you talk about understanding field-specific challenges, a commitment to integrity, and of course, leveraging the understanding of ethicists and engaging with broader communities, including the liberal arts. So maybe you can kind of explain what you mean by each of these things.
So Ben, thank you for bringing it up. I did write a paper for the communications of the ACM, which is maybe the leading computer science technical journal, where I argued that indeed, as technical people, as whether we're machine learning people or AI people or data people, we have to first attend to all of the issues that are the sort of technical issues in our domain. So that's, as I said before, more than just the model, more than just the data, but security and resilience and those things. Just like someone that's building an airplane, they don't think just about aerodynamics. They need to think about resilience of the plane because of metal fatigue. They have to think about oxidation. Obviously, now we know you need to think very carefully about the manufacturing processes and the documentation that every step has been done right in the manufacturing. So there are many things in every field, just like in the world of medicine as well. It's not just does the drug work, but what's the risk of drug abuse from the drug or drug interactions or long-term dependency? So we have to do all of those things. Second thing, which we're reminded of regularly from many of the articles we read, and that is that we have to do them truthfully. So we shouldn't say, oh, this is really secure when we know there's a bug in it. Now, we may make mistakes, right? That's inevitable. But we have to really work hard. In the old days, I think, and you go back kind of far in this, Ben, we were like desperate to prove any of this stuff worked, right? Well, it works. So this is no longer just like, oh, that's cool. We can go do this. We're doing real things today. So we have to actually assert that we are doing these things to the best of our ability. Here are the risks. Here's what we do. Here's what we know. Here's what we don't know, etc. So that's the second point, the field-specific challenges, integrity. And then finally, many of the issues that we read about where now there are these great debates, these are the debates of humankind over the centuries, over the millennia, right? What's right? What's wrong? What rights does the individual have versus what right does the state have to specify what individuals have? How do we balance economic growth versus issues of equality? Those are interesting questions to reach. How do we look at nation-state advantage versus international activities? All of these things now are playing a role in the regulation of these technologies in how we develop them. And I believe that requires now that our students have kind of a T-shaped education, is what we said and what often said. And that is that they have a good basis in economics and political science, understanding some history, reading some literature so that we see what creative people think about the future. And then with that basis of these subjects, including philosophy and ethics, absolutely, then we can go forth and we will make the best decisions we can make. And they'll be hard because these are the decisions that civilizations have been having trouble making correctly for all of history.
So I know you spent some time at Google.
I did.
And one of the things that, one of those kind of, I don't know if it's a true quote or not, but attributed to Steve Jobs, right? So the whole Google is all about engineering, Apple is all about engineering plus humanities.
So that's interesting. I suspect Steve was discussing this mostly from the point of view of human factors and the elegance of the solution, which Apple has done really a tremendous job with. So I had the pleasure of knowing Steve and hosting him at Carnegie Mellon many decades ago. That would have been my guess as to what he's thinking, but I'm no expert. At Google, I think maybe we were certainly less focused on visual things than Apple in the early days, so that's certainly true. But I believe that to do these things well at any company now, we have to be thinking far more broadly than which ad will get the most click, right? There's more than that, and we know that. And it's not entirely the case that all you want to do with a recommendation system is maximize the likelihood that someone will click on the next recommendation, right? There are more things that we now need to take into account. We have to take into account, you know, the societal implications. It doesn't mean that everything we do, we have to go to philosophers and what have you, but we have to think through how this will all impact the world around us. And that will impact our corporation, our not-for-profit, our government, wherever we're applying these things. And that requires more breadth than we used to have.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the O'Reilly Podcast, Generative AI in the Real World. If you want to listen to the full version, please log in to the platform at O'Reilly.com.